Country Pop FM. The Bob Almanac, Thursday, January 25th. 25th day of the year, 340 days until the end of 2018. Have you been to a wedding recently? Good chance you heard this. I think this was the walk-up music for... Who was it in the WWF? Didn't somebody use this? I can't remember. Was it
Elizabeth Taylor?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot she competed in some of those battle royals.
Yeah.
It's on this date in 1858, Mendelssohn's Wedding March. Felix Mendelssohn presented for the first time the wedding of the daughter of Queen Victoria, and it became a tradition. He didn't know what he had.
No.
When he didn't realize that we'd still be playing it some 100 and...
However many.
60, 160 years later.
Yeah, that's
right. 160 years later. 1915, Alexander Graham Bell spoke to his assistant, Thomas A. Watson. It wasn't the whole first telephone call, Watson, come here. This was, they sent Watson out west. You know,
he wasn't in the next room.
No, he was on the other coast. Alexander Graham Bell, he stayed home. And he sent, and you know, even 1915, a coast-to-coast trip was not easy.
No.
But Watson had to do it because, after all, he was the assistant. He was the sidekick.
Right.
And he went to San Francisco, and Alexander Graham Bell talked to Watson, and it was the first ever transcontinental phone call. It started transcontinental telephone service.
Yes.
1915. 1924, the first Winter Olympics were held in Chamonix, France. Chamonix. Mm-hmm. Pretty good golf course over Lionel Lakes way.
I've still yet to play that one.
Chamonix, it won't fit your game. I think
it's too tight.
It's tight. There's some tightness there. What do you think about tight golf courses?
I'm not a fan.
No,
I need
you like them wide open.
I need expansive territory,
aka a hayfield.
Correct.
1924, 1937.
The guiding light.
Very
brought to you
chilling.
By the makers of P&G Soap, the White Pasta Soap.
A soap opera brought to you by soap.
That was very clever.
It's hard to believe. But first day, this date, 1937, NBC Radio presented The Guiding Light for the first time.
My mom, we used to watch the TV version
right.
quite a bit.
It eventually made its way to TV in 1952 and was on for a long, long time. But that was the radio version of
very
the...
Nice.
Guiding Light. 1945, this was the date one of our war heroes from World War II, in fact, one of the most recognized war heroes and honored war heroes of all time, a guy by the name of Audie Murphy, earned the Congressional Medal of Honor. This is what he did. He ordered his troops to retreat, and then using a blazing tank destroyer to single-handedly hold off German forces, he then ordered an artillery strike on his own position, probably expecting to be killed.
Right.
If you are ordering an airstrike on your own position, he's probably expecting to be killed and not make it out. But he did, and then he went on to be a big film star.
Pretty cool story. He was in the Battle of Anzio along with James Arness from Gunsmoke fame.
Marshall Dillon.
Yeah, he got hurt in that battle and went through many surgeries and suffered from injuries during that battle for the rest of his life. So it's how ironic that both Audie Murphy and James Arness participated in that battle in WW2.
Audie Murphy then went and played himself in the movie about that incident, To Hell and Back.
Wow.
How would you like to play yourself?
Well,
that'd be an easy job, wouldn't it be?
I would think so. I'd get paid handsomely for
you
it.
Can't. But I'm Kramer. That's another Seinfeld result. 1945, that very same date, Grand Rapids, Michigan becomes the first U.S. city to fluoridate its water.
Huh.
That was a big debate. I remember having those debates even in the 70s.
Yes, I do too.
About fluoridated water. Grand Rapids did it in 45. 47, noted gangster Al Capone. He died in prison. He was only 40. What did he die of? The clap?
Yeah.
Something like that.
He did. He had a STD, gonorrhea, and it just...
Syphilis.
It was a grisly...
Syphilis,
yeah. Grisly demise for Al Capone, which... Maybe,
he deserved a grisly demise.
Yeah, he probably did.
He led to many other people's grisly demises.
Yes, he did.
Did he not?
He did.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak.
RCA released their first Elvis Presley record, Heartbreak Hotel. He had gone from Sun Records to RCA.
That's a good tune right there.
Heartbreak Hotel.
Written by?
It's written by, what's his name's mother?
May Axton, wasn't it?
Yeah, Hoyt Axton's mother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was 56, 1961. John F. Kennedy presented the first live presidential press conference.
I have several announcements to make first. I have a statement about the Geneva negotiations for an atomic test ban.
Man, I'd like to hear about that, but we just don't really have the time.
For the full press conference?
John F. Kennedy, that's the first live presidential press conference on TV, televised. Eisenhower had done some on TV, but they weren't live. That was the big deal about that one in 61. It was live, not Memorex. 1971, Charles Manson and three of his followers sentenced to life in prison. As a bad guy. Speaking of bad guy, the very same date, Major General Idi Amin led a coup d'etat that deposed Milton Obote and became president of Uganda. Idi Amin would ravage that country as
bad
the president of Uganda.
Just
bad man.
Terrible guy.
Bad man, 71. 1978, Muriel Humphrey appointed to fill late husband's Senate seat after Hubert H. Humphrey had passed away. Muriel Humphrey. You don't hear about that anymore where the wives take over.
Right.
For why didn't Al Franken's wife take his spot instead of Tina Smith? Maybe because of the reasons for him stepping down.
Al Franken didn't die in office.
No, it was a little more disgraceful.
Right.
And his wife probably didn't want to be in the limelight. Muriel Humphrey was okay with that, serving out the rest of his term.
Didn't Sonny Bono's wife then take over for him?
I think so.
I think so after the skiing mishap.
Yeah, he hit a tree.
Yeah.
1980, Paul McCartney released from Tokyo. He was in jail for what it was, 9 days? Imprisoned for trying to carry a half pound of marijuana through customs at the Tokyo airport. That's a no-no.
It's only a half pound.
That's a no-no. Soy sauce? Okay. Marijuana?
Not so
no.
good.
And then 1989, this date, New York Yankees owner George Steinbrenner met with Pope John Paul II.
Really?
Owner of the Yankees and the Pope got together. We actually have some audio from that meeting.
Okay.
What the hell did you trade Jay Buhner for? He had 30 home runs and over 100 RBIs last year. He's got a rocket for an arm. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Buhner was a good prospect, no question about it. But my baseball people love Ken Phelps' bat. They kept saying, Ken Phelps, Ken Phelps.
You know, the Pope sounds an awful lot like Frank Costanza, Jerry Stiller.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
I did. And the Pope was letting him have it, though.
Pope John Paul II, anytime we heard him talk, he was always talking in Polish. I guess when he speaks in English, he sounds like Jerry Stiller.
Yeah.
Or a.k.a. Frank Costanza. That was 89 for that big meeting.
That was a good bit right there.
Let's go to birthdays.
Since 1964, when he joined the Minnesota Vikings as their number one draft choice, Eller's excellence at defensive end has made him a star.
Carl Eller. His nickname, Neil?
Moose.
Former Minnesota Gopher, Viking draft pick. He played for the Purple Gang. John Facenda, I don't think, called him ever the Purple People Eaters. He may have, but they're early. Before they started calling them the Purple People Eaters, they called them the Purple Gang.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, sure.
On NFL films. He had 100.
What's that guy's name again? John Facenda?
John Facenda. Pittsburgh. Yeah. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
What about Harry Callis?
He was NFL films.
Yeah. Oh, he was the guy behind it?
Yeah. No. Who was his? No. Harry Callis was the guy. He used to do the Philadelphia Phillies, and then he did voice work for NFL films.
Okay.
But there's the other one. The guys that actually were behind NFL films, and I can't think of his name right now.
Steve
Sable.
Sable,
and his father.
Yeah.
So, Carl Eller is 76 today.
Old Moose.
He's a football Hall of Famer.
Yep.
He is the Vikings' all-time sack leader, 130 sacks. And even though they didn't start really counting sacks till 82, somebody went back and watched games and decided that he had 130.
I would have liked that job.
Old number 81. He came to our school. I was in middle school, and he talked about drugs. You know, because he ran into those issues, and now he is a counselor for drug and alcohol abuse.
It was too bad that, you know, we didn't retire, kind of, but they don't really retire numbers. At least the Vikings don't do much of that.
Yeah, they do. Fran Tarkenton's retired.
Well, Joe Sensor then wore 81, right?
Yeah. Corey Stringer's retired. I don't know who else they've retired. Yeah. But Carl Eller, happy birthday. He is 76 today, one of the Vikings greats, of course. Lee Taylor Young is 73 from Peyton Place.
I'm never going to wear the dress he gave me. I'm going to burn it.
Well, that's where the charm is, isn't it?
Maybe. I'm going to do it anyhow.
Don't burn it. I mean, at least give it to Goodwill. I mean, it's a good garment.
Yeah.
It's well constructed. That's Lee Taylor Young. Peyton Place was a big deal. That was your era.
Yep.
Was that one of the first prime time soaps?
Soap operas, yes.
Because that was
Late 60s, early 70s.
She appeared on Dallas and Picket Fences and Soylent Green. Soylent Green is people. Lee Taylor Young, 73 today. Do you know the name of Roy Wayne Ferris? Do you know who that is?
I don't.
Well, you might know him better as the guy whose finishing move was the shake, rattle, and roll.
Stop trying to make jokes out here. This is serious business to us. We're talking about the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship. We're talking about cutting somebody's hair. You're going to get it, Brutus. Shake, rattle, and roll. I don't care if I have to backstroke up the Mississippi. Woo! You guys ain't never coming to my house.
He was the honky-tonk man being interviewed by Bob Uecker for one of the WrestleManias. It wasn't WrestleMania 3. I think that was number 4. Yeah, Bob Uecker was a part of the... You know, they bring all these big guys in WrestleManias. But the honky-tonk man, I didn't realize this until I found it out that he was the cousin of Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh.
The honky-tonk man is 65. Happy birthday.
Just a minute. See, that's what I'm talking about. This is all your fault, Rainbow.
No.
Nuh-uh. Your family history of blasphemy has seeped into my grandbaby and damned her for eternity.
She plays the grandmother on Black-ish. Her name is Jennifer Lewis. She is 61. She was really well known for her appearance in Sister Act. That's the Nun movie.
Yep.
Remember that one?
Yes.
Jennifer Lewis is 61 today. She was one of the pink ladies from Greece.
Well, here we are again.
Yeah, but this time we're seniors.
And we're going to rule the school.
Janda is so adolescent.
She was Marty Marciano. Marty Marcinio, like the cherry. What's the cherry?
Marcino.
She was Marty Marcino, like the cherry, as she said to Vince Fontaine, the DJ. You know, her and Vince had something going on there.
Yeah, they did.
In Greece. That's her, Rizzo, and Jan, as they're just about ready to take over Rydell High.
I remember seeing it at the Chanhassen not that long ago.
Dinah Manoff, who was also on Empty Nest, and she was on Soap, so she kind of followed Richard Mulligan around, it seems.
Yeah, well.
Who wouldn't, really?
Yes, right.
Dinah Manoff, if I had the chance to follow Richard Mulligan around, I would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She is 60 today.
When the Tennessee River hits a Nickitack Dam, up comes the water over Nickitack Land. Like
wow.
A top on a bottle when it's ready to blow.
The group River Road.
Yeah.
This was a peppy song. I wish it would have done better.
Right?
Yeah, Nickitack. They say it right in the song. I'm glad you got it. Mike Birch is 52. He's a member of River Road.
They didn't have a whole lot of hits.
No, he didn't. I wish that song, it was so peppy and it's so catchy. It had a great hick. Or is that a hook or a hick? There were some hicks in the video.
That's a hick with a hook.
It's a hick with a hook. It's a hook hick. Mike Birch from River Road, 52 today. Anytime we get Jay-Z on the Bob Morning Show, I jump at the chance. Alicia Keys singing there. That's the Empire State of Mind. That's a big song from 8-9 years ago. Alicia Keys, good singer. Jay-Z kind of ruins the song for me. Alicia Keys is 37.
All right, gone but not forgotten. We have traitor, cheater, American Benedict Arnold. Was born on this day, 1741. He did not help our effort in the Revolutionary War. 1741. He served under President Herbert Hoover. Can you name the vice president? It'd be a tough Jeopardy question, even, I would think. The answer is, who was U.S. Vice President Charles Curtis.
He's kind of been lost to history.
Yeah. Yeah, he was born in this day, 1860. She had nothing to do with Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, really, but writer Virginia Woolf, born in this day, 1882. What about former football player and coach Frank Pop Ivy? Just call him Pop. He was born on this day, 1916. The only person to have served as a head coach in the National Football League, the now-defunct American Football League, and the Canadian Football League.
Not the World Football League?
They didn't do the World or the Arena. But Pop Ivy was born on this day, 1916. You remember former NBC newsman Edwin Newman.
And I remember his appearance on SNL. It was classic.
Repeat after me. Iranians' pains come mainly from Khomeini.
Iranians' pains come mainly from Khomeini.
That was Joe Piscopo doing his Tom Snyder impersonation with that laugh in there.
That's awesome. Very good bit there. Nicely done. Former NBC newsman and SNL alum Edwin Newman, born on this day, 1919. Country singer Rusty Draper.
Yes, it always whispers to me of the days of long ago.
Is it Whispering Bill when or is it Rusty Draper?
This is Rusty Draper. Yeah, he was whispering before Whispering Bill.
Right.
Fought the crafty Navajo.
I think this is his biggest hit that he ever had.
The cattle.
The shifting, whispering winds and sands.
Boy.
Happy people.
That is Rusty Draper, 1923. When your nickname is The Toe, you've got it going on. I'm sorry. I'm a big fan of Lou The Toe Groza. He was a Pro Football Hall of Famer, then went in as a worked for a collection agency.
I think that's because he was he had gout.
Maybe that's what it was. He was a fine place kicker, though. Lou the Toe Groza, born on this day, 1924. Was she the one who liked shoes, Corazon Aquino?
No, that was Imelda Marcos.
Imelda Marcos.
She is the one, this gal here is the one who succeeded the Marcoses.
Ah, yes. Former Philippine leader Corazon Aquino.
Aquino was born in
1933. In 1938, Hall of Fame great singer Etta James.
At last.
There's some soul here.
My love.
I'd call it sultry soul.
Oh, yeah.
My lonely.
Etta James was born on this day, 1938. She and the rest of those folks that I have mentioned are all gone, but not forgotten.
You know what else is gone?
The almanac?
It's all gone.
It's done?
All done, yeah.
That's it?
Thanks for joining us. Here's Trace Atkins now, Bob FM.
I told you I'd leave a light on.